You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Happy Native American Month. Or as we say at my house, happy every month. Every month is Native American Heritage Month. Every day is Indigenous Peoples Day. And we have some happy news we just heard. Listen to this. Dear Dawn Karima, congratulations. You have been selected as a World Entertainment Award nominee. Dawn Karima, it is with great pleasure and excitement that we extend our heartfelt congratulations to you. We are delighted to inform you that you have been selected as a distinguished nominee for the esteemed World Entertainment Award. This is for Conversations with Dawn Karima in Best Podcast Category. We commend you for shaping today's culture through your craft. Being nominated for a World Entertainment Award is a true marker of excellence and a crowning achievement. It brings a level of prestige and recognition that sets you apart as one of the best in the industry. Your World Entertainment Award nomination is a remarkable accomplishment, and once again, congratulations! We are truly thrilled to celebrate and honor your exceptional achievement. Wow, what a great way to start Native American Heritage Month. And one of the best things about this month is that I get to start it off by visiting with one of my most favorite and beloved people in the whole wide world. So, to our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, I'm Dwayne Brayboy. I am Tuscarora from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina and Robeson County, and I am Bear Clan enrolled at Prospect Longhouse.
I'm so glad you're with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. It's always an honor and a good time to be here, and congratulations on your accolade. You deserve this. You've earned it. And perfect news for to kick off Native American Heritage Month.
Absolutely, it just came, and I thought, wow, this is fantastic timing. You're here, good news is here. What a wonderful way to celebrate! And thankfully, all of our friends listening today are here with us as well. Oh, so I want to thank you. Because you are an incredible part of this podcast. You have been such a font of wisdom and confidence and compassion and kindness and goodness, and you have been a wonderful guest on so many episodes of this podcast. And so I want to thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to just share with you and spend more time with you, which is one of my very favorite things to do.
And I feel the same for you, and by extension, your entire listenership. It's always been a good time to be here, and in so many ways, I feel like being here has helped me as a person grow. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year, but for us, well, always Native American heritage and Indigenous people, and always a celebration of that. But for our friends who are listening, who may not know even, who may not be aware of how important this month is to us,
Help us to understand why it matters that we have a Native American Heritage Month.
It matters because, one, I've been thinking of this lately, one of the ways that in genocidal situations around the world, not ours in particular, you know, just any genocidal situation, the way one of the things, one of the aspects of a genocide is erasing the people that are being exterminated. And so for so long, for centuries, we have been systematically erased on Turtle Island in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a Native American Heritage Month, which is something that, you know, we fought for.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't something that was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was something that we fought for. It's so important that we have that because that is part of our, it's acknowledging our existence in a system that had been trying to exterminate us for so long. So that little bit of validation, it helps us, I feel, interact with the dominant society.
Wow. I knew you'd have the best and most profound answer, and you certainly do. I think of something my granddaddy used to say. He said, it's not so much what they give you as what you do with it. So as Indigenous people, tribal people, people who, again, face that kind of genocide and systemic erasure, what do we need to do with this month?
That is a good question. What do we do? Something that I do is I help other Natives when and where I can during this month. Sometimes, you know, I know somebody in particular who is a young person who is trying to find his way and you know, is from down home, from my community. But he's trying to find his way into the larger Native America and the world in general. And so I've been helping him along with some pointers and tips, and he's a writer, and so he's wanting to just cast a wider net into across Turtle Island to, you know, make connections. And so I've been helping where I can, where someone like that is concerned. So I do that. I feel like that's going to help because, you know, I'm older, you know, I've been living my life and doing the things that I do for so long, and here's this opportunity for me to help this young person. And a young Native person. And so that's something that I'm doing because, you know, when I'm too old to be doing the things that I'm doing anymore, and one day eventually whenever I make the journey, then, you know, the younger generations will still be here and, you know, they will carry it on. And so it's important to help them along, I think. So that's one of the things that I've been focusing on. But there's so much more that we can do and should do. You know, we show up at, we often get requests to make appearances at schools to share stories about our history, talk about our history, our culture, our present, our past, you know, which I think is very important. I mean, you know how it is being from the house, you know, it's just, it's what we know. It's our everyday lives,
right?
But then we go out and we speak to these, you know, the non-Native communities about our history and our present even, and they know next to nothing about us.
Right.
They think that we all stay in teepees. they think that, you know, we must ride a horse to work or school, you know. So education during this month is so important, I think. So, you know, when we get those calls to make appearances at libraries or at schools, we always accept as much as possible.
I thank you. And what I love about what you're saying is that it's always going toward the future. You know, we could look at this as a celebration of the past, heritage, things that happened, history, legacy. But you're looking at it in such a beautiful way, beyond beautiful, really, because you're looking forward. You're saying you're going to sow seeds into people's lives that will grow into a harvest down the road and continue. And I think that's really amazing, to be future-minded. When people join the military, they go to boot camp. And boot camp is when they, you know, teach all of these things that are important to you if you're going to survive in the military. And I think that we have an amazing opportunity in our own lives and communities, but also in other lives and communities, that this month can be a jump start. It can be a time when we ourselves, I think, re-indigenize our lives, or indigenize our lives, reignite our passion for our tribal cultures. But it's also a chance to expose people to our cultures that, as you said, they don't even know we're there. I've had people say they have never met a Native American, and they say this to me. And I'm like,
Right.
And I do think that many people believe they haven't. They really believe in their lives they have not met a Native American, which is almost impossible because, you know, Cherokee, North Carolina, I've had people say this to me in Silva, and I'm like, I just think maybe, okay. You know, you've never been to Walmart.
Exactly. Walmart in Pembroke is like Native Central. You know?
Yeah, it's like a powwow. And I think, but what I think they're really saying is they don't know enough to recognize us. They don't know enough to know that we are the bank teller or the person at the AutoZone or the person at Walmart or the person their kids go to school with, our kids. They don't know that. I think they honestly don't know enough to recognize us. And so this is an awesome opportunity to sort of jumpstart. You know, you can't know everything, but you can know something, and you can certainly know something about something. And so let's start with our own lives. How can we use this time to indigenize our lives, re-indigenize our lives, or increase the level of indigenation in our lives?
Yes, I agree with all of that. I think that, first I'll say this, I feel like the Hollywood stereotype, the Hollywood Indian, is still what permeates the national consciousness of the image of what an Indian is. I have known thick-blooded Indians who don't get quite regarded as Indians by non-natives because non-natives can't reconcile that Native Americans exist today and in this way and in the modern age, that this Hollywood stereotype that you're only Indian if you are bare-chested riding across the plains on a Appaloosa, with feathers in your hair and wearing a war bonnet, and then you go to your teepee where your woman is, you know, skinning a deer, and you know, it's. I've seen us in my lifetime begin to recover from the stereotype. Yeah. But it's still there, and it's something that I often focus on. When the opportunity arises, I always focus on that, that mm-hmm. that we are not that, you know, we can be natives this way, you know? And,
yes.
you know, for example, one of the things that I tell people when this conversation comes up is that, you know, when they talk about teepees or horses or some such, and I'm like, we never had that here.
That's right.
You know, my people stayed in longhouses.
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, out west and horse culture in the plains and such, you know, the horses were so vital to their cultures.
Sure.
To natives, you know, there and the plains, because that's how they got around. You know, that there's so much land and so to me, to an Eastern native, you know, so few rivers. But here in North Carolina, there's and the East Coast in general, there's rivers everywhere. And
right. Yeah.
How we got around. We got around by canoe, not horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our canoes were our horses. The rivers were our highways.
That's right.
And so that's one of the things that I educate people on is breaking down that stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of fundamental. So those basic things, I think, are what form people's opinions about us. And so deconstructing those fundamentals that they have in their minds about us, you know, I think that helps a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry if I got off track there.
No, that was perfect. That's absolutely perfect, because really what you're doing is helping to decolonize. And
yes.
you're helping them to decolonize their ideas. But that also, you know, sometimes we're prisoners of these stereotypes as well.
We oh, yes.
sometimes can be lateral violence can erupt from holding on to those stereotypes. We can also punish ourselves. Or, you know, we want to dress a certain way or we like a certain thing. I have a friend who is actually a tremendous classical composer. And he talked about how long it took him to really embrace that and lean into that, because he thought that as a native person from Oklahoma, he should be composing, you know, drum and flute. He should be, which is fine,
right.
wonderful, but he really wanted to, you know, play piano. And he loved Bach and Vivaldi, and he wanted to compose like that. And yet he felt like, oh, he would be somehow not doing a native thing if he did that. And when he told me that, I thought about so many other things, but just in little tiny ways, you know, those colonial ideas and stereotypes, popular culture especially, has snuck into our minds. And so this is a wonderful time for us to decolonize ourselves as well.
I agree, very much so. And yes, I think every Native community has this issue. I don't want to speak broadly for maybe everyone, I shouldn't do that, but I'll say that all the communities that I know of and my community as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, yes, we do have those issues
mm-hmm.
where, you know, if you don't, you know, dress a certain way or have a certain haircut, then you're not native enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you're not real native, you know, that sort of stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe what you drive, if you don't have a res car, then,
yeah.
oh, you're not Indian mm-hmm. enough, you know, mm-hmm. you're not really Indian. You don't know what the struggle's like,
yeah.
you know, well, you know, I've had, I'm driving an Audi now.
Good for you. That's right.
Yeah, thank you. I have had Indian cars before.
Oh, yeah.
Multicolored, no heat. some of the electrical didn't work. And then I've lived in my lifetime where we didn't have a car at all.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I've experienced the full spectrum. And you know what? I was no more Indian when I didn't have a car.
That's right.
Than what I am now driving an Audi.
Mm, I love that you're saying that, because this is a wonderful moment that we can now decolonize once again. You know, we were wealthy people. We were prosperous people. We were people, I'm speaking of all, I know I'm going pan-Indian here for a minute, but I mean, across the board, we decorated and adorned. We respected our property. We had health, you know. Other people who encountered various tribes talked about how gorgeous and healthy and strong we were, and how there were, whatever lodge you had, it was made in such a good way, and things were beaded and decorated, and things were, you know, and so we were not that popular culture sort of stereotype, you know, res car, res house, res this. The res means something beat up and secondhand and not good. And yet that really wasn't, I mean, go look at the Mayans, the Aztecs, look at Cahokia. That really wasn't who we were as tribal people. We were gorgeous. We were sacred. We were not, you know, the leftovers. And it's okay if you've had a hard time. I get it. We're not criticizing people for not having a lot. We're saying that you don't have to use that as a metric for judging your indigeneity. And so I'm really glad to hear that, because I see people do that to people who get an education. I see people say, you know, if you don't have a car that you have to pour antifreeze into every 15 minutes, you know, somehow that you are less native. And I'm thinking that none of those material things ever had anything to do with our original concept of identity. It was who you were, who loved you, who you loved, the community you were part of. I don't think it ever had to do with material things.
Right. I agree. I agree with that. That's the same way that I see the same situation, you know, and in the past we did take pride in what was ours, but, you know, and we didn't glorify, you know, being poor or having so little. In fact, you know, there's documentation from Europeans that came here that wrote about my people that said there's no such thing as poverty among the Tuscarora, because if somebody is lacking, the rest of the village or, you know, community, they come together and provide for this person. And when asked about it, the person who responded said, we have to do this. Our society will fail if we don't take care mm-hmm. of our own people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I love about what you're saying is that it shows me that we walked in love. And every tribe I can think of, that generosity, that kindness, that hospitality, that goodness were values. Those were the things that mattered, that we loved one another. We took care of people. There was no such thing as an orphan, because the aunties would always take care of people who needed, a child who needed a home. We never had the same kind of loveless society. Love was the foundation. And so maybe that's one of the things that this month we can actually get back to, is walking in some of the community bonds and mutual aid and love that we have always had in our tribal communities, right?
Right. I agree. You know, I'm thinking now of this this aspect of Christopher Columbus's encounter with the Taino. Mm. And when he first met them, they describe, I am not remembering his name right now, De Las Casas or something.
Yeah, Father Casas. Bartholomew Casas.
He wrote that they were amazed at the love and generosity of these native people, that they would give them everything they had. And they expressed this love, this genuine care and concern for other humans this way. You know, they knew that, obviously, that Christopher Columbus and these Spaniards who arrived there were obviously not their people, but that didn't matter. They loved them because they're human. And that aspect is woven throughout Haudenosaunee culture, my people's culture. It's in our Thanksgiving address. Not just, we don't give thanks for Indian people, we give thanks for all the people in the world. And so there is this just magnificent outpouring of just love and concern for these wayward Spaniards who arrived among the Taino. And rather than appreciating that most beautiful thing, that love that they had for other humans, Christopher Columbus said something to the effect of, with 50 men, we could subjugate the entire population.
He did. He said it. Isn't it heartbreaking that he had an opportunity to change? Like, okay, even if he came with that mentality, he came with that attitude, when he saw something different, higher and better, he could have said, wow, we should learn from these people. There's something that they have that we don't. But instead, he actually saw it as a weakness and exploited it. And I'm so sorry about that, because many things could have been different if people had recognized that love is a superpower.
It is.
We have to think about this month, this opportunity in our own lives as well, I think, that it's a chance for us to learn the language. If you've always wanted to dance, if you've always wanted to rock your mucks, if you've always wanted to learn to cook or to do things that your traditional ancestors did, crafts or whatever, it's a wonderful opportunity to just have a reset and say, you know, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to do something different. And so if perhaps someone thinks that this is a good time to learn their tribal language, how would they start?
I always tell people to get with the people who speak the language. That is so important. You know, acquiring the materials, language materials, is one thing. But if you don't know how to use them, you'll never learn. It's kind of like my situation with teaching other people who, say, have the Tuscarora Dictionary. And then they get frustrated because they've had the Tuscarora Dictionary for years and they just can't learn anything from it. I'm like, yeah, but you think about it. You know, you don't go to an English dictionary to learn the English language. You go to an English dictionary to find a word. You know, it's dictionaries aren't set up like language courses. So I always say, gather what language materials you can and get with the people who do speak the language, because that's where you'll learn. And, you know, speaking it with somebody, learning it in theory is one thing. You won't, I don't feel like people will get very far in learning theoretically, and especially indigenous languages. I feel like that's something that you have to interact with other people to master.
I agree with that, and I think you're very, very right. And one of the wonderful things that holidays and celebrations do, any commemoration, is they can give us some courage. And, for example, everybody sings Christmas carols at Christmas. Whether they have any training, whether they have a beautiful voice, everybody just feels free to join in the celebration if they want to. You know, if you have, this is your moment. If you've always wanted to wear your ribbon skirt to work, you can do it if it's allowed there, because you have a reason. I don't need a reason. I wear my traditional clothes most of the time. But some of us, you know, maybe the courage. How can I wear this to work? And I work in an office. And, well, Work will understand a month dedicated to your heritage, or they should. This is a chance, perhaps, right, for you to explore your own heritage and your own culture and to think of things in a different way. We don't need permission, but sometimes we do need courage. And so this month is a time when you can say, I've always wanted to get out there during the round dance, and now I will. You know, I've always wanted to.
Right.
I've always wanted to try to make fry bread, and maybe it won't be very good, but I'll try it. Now, fry bread is not traditional. I know that, but all of us have such different traditional foods, so you can insert yours there. I'm thinking that this is a wonderful opportunity for our young people as well to introduce their culture and heritage to their classmates, their friends, the people around them who might not know about them. So for our young people, how can they introduce their friends to pieces of who they are and their heritage?
Well, one thing is that I can't go pan-Indian and speak for other,
right,
other people.
Sure.
But I do know that we Tuscarora have socials regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Socials, you know, are not like ceremonies. Ceremonies are sacred,
yeah,
and, you know, but socials are for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can come to a social. It's kind of like a bit like a powwow,
mm-hmm,
in a way. We're just singing and dancing, you know? And so, you know, we just had a social last week. We're planning another social in another couple of weeks. So if there is an opportunity to attend some sort of event in one's tribal community, that would be a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, I think that there's not a lot of powwows because, you know, powwow season's coming to an end, especially around here. So there's not a lot of powwows to go to at this point, but a lot of people do have socials or some other sorts of events. You know, there are people that are kind of going from the heat and warmth of the outdoors into, as the world cools down in our part of the world, people go indoors. So there's basket making, crafts, and such, you know. Those people can get invited to go watch the process, you know, go watch people make pottery, you know.
Uh-huh.
Baskets, or, you know, just something like that. You know, I think that those are good ways, plenty of opportunities for people to get involved.
Yes, how awesome. That is fabulous. I want all of us to think about that. We're going to take a commercial break, but while we do, please think about it. Think about the ways that you can get involved. Think about the ways that you can make the most of this month and beyond. We'll be right back.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety. But with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
So glad you're here with us today, and I'm so happy that I'm here with us today, and our guest is with us today. It's just wonderful. It really is. Would you reintroduce yourself to our listeners, please?
Yes, I am Dwayne Brayboy, and I am Tuscarora with the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina. I'm Bear Clan and enrolled at Prospect Longhouse.
I'm always happy when you're here, and I'm very thankful that you're here right now, because I would be so honored to hand you the mic and let you speak directly to our friends from your heart about what Native American Heritage Month means to you and to your people.
Well, thank you. And I'll say this, being a language teacher, mm-hmm. something that I'm often charged with, a responsibility that I'm charged with, is the advent of new words. And these are words that are modern advents, maybe, like radio, TV, or internet, or computer, you know. And so, obviously, we didn't have these words 100 years ago, mm-hmm. Or, okay, 200 years ago. And so that's something that I do. One of the words that I was asked about before is our word for decolonization, or decolonize. And so, I'm a very democratic person. I just don't take the lead and run with it. And I will come up with a word, and then I will carry it to the elders, carry it to the council, and shop it around and see how everybody feels about it. And, there's never been a time where a word's been rejected, but, you know, just so that everyone's on board and I don't feel like I'm taking the reins and everyone's got to follow my lead, everyone has a say. That's part of our culture. But this word for decolonize, and this written down is a long word, but it's something that the young people get excited about. You know, they like it, and so I always break it down for them. Jiguari wachagwasnehatnye, and this is literally meaning, we once again restore our matter to its proper state, or it's made good again, and we're going along doing this thing. So that's how we would break down our word for to decolonize. I like that word. I like that word. I feel like that is just one of the good words. But there's this aspect of Native American Heritage Month, the decolonization, the re-indigenization, mm-hmm. you know, the opportunities to teach and to learn, opportunities for us to decolonize ourselves and our communities, get back to our core traditional values, like something that we just spoke of. I don't want to sound redundant here, but the love that we always had for each other. And there were wars between some nations. You know, it's a lot. Those wars were a lot different than what wars are today.
Mm-hmm.
But despite those unfortunate wars that we did have, our respect for humanity, mm-hmm. our respect for each other, and the love that we have for the human race, the natural world, the animal people, Mother Earth, you know, mm-hmm. just the respect and love, that's something that I always am trying to encourage in other people. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like in 2023, it's almost a quaint idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The idea of being loving and compassionate and, you know, that the world seems so toxic right now.
Mm-hmm.
That the concept of love and compassion just almost seem foreign to so many people, but I'm always fighting to facilitate that, to facilitate the love and the compassion, because that is at our core such a big part of who we've always been.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, love is never redundant. You're absolutely right. It is at our very core and our very vital center of our cultures and who we are. And I feel that if we have everything, land back, water back, we have everything we should have. We have our languages, our culture, our tradition, and we don't have love. I'm not sure if we really do have everything back. Because at the root of all of that is a love for the land, a love for the water, a love for our culture, our language, and then a love for one another. The
right.
love for one another that makes us a tribe. It's a love for one another that makes us a nation. It's a love for one another that ensures our future for our children and our grandchildren. So I love everything that you're saying, and I love you for saying it, because you're right. You're absolutely right. This is a wonderful opportunity that we have to infuse love into everywhere we go by bringing our culture everywhere we are. What do you say to parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, elders, people who right now have the future generations under their care, you know, and are shaping the lives of young people? How do we make sure our culture and our language and our love goes with them into the future?
I believe it begins at home. Mm-hmm. And those who are right with tradition, then those homes are full of our culture on a mm-hmm. daily basis. It's part of who we are. Those parents and grandparents in the home are doing everything right. They are, you know, warriors for their nations, you know, because they're brave enough to carry on what is so easily thrown away these days in the modern age. But then there are those that I think of up north, you know, so many that people, natives that I know in Canada, who, if they weren't a residential school survivor, then their children or grandchildren, mm-hmm. you know, are affected by that. And so, you know, there are some of these people still living, you know, who are affected by the boarding school situation where they were punished for speaking their language, where they, you know, were just, they knew that other children were being killed mm-hmm. and dying in mm-hmm. these boarding schools. For nothing more than just being Indian. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those people, those who survived are so traumatized by that experience mm. that, you know, they I know people who have a parent who was a boarding school survivor, and they were like, you know, oh, well, you know, I wasn't raised speaking my language because, you know, my mother or, you know, my parents were boarding school survivors. And, you know, so in those situations, I say, take it to the community,
mm-hmm.
take it to their people, you know. If someone didn't have their language passed down to them for some circumstance like this, then go to the people who do know it within their communities.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't know how to dance or don't know the ceremonies or some such, go to the community, go to the longhouse, go to their spiritual centers, you know, and learn these things, you know, because if that's the way that it'll carry on. So those who are fortunate enough to have parents and grandparents in the home who pass down the culture
mm-hmm.
and everything that makes us who we are, that's wonderful. Those who, for whatever reason, have not had that same experience, I say go to your communities and learn it from the community.
Mm. As always, that's an excellent answer, and I thank you for it. We believe in diversity and inclusion, and we always want to welcome our friends who listen of all backgrounds. And so let's talk about what folks who aren't necessarily Native or Indigenous or tribal people can do during this month that might help them, encourage them, educate them about Native people.
Right. I think that our allies, and we do have some very effective, very good allies.
We do. I'm thankful.
And these are those who were raised in non-Native communities
mm-hmm.
and grew up knowing nothing more about Natives than what they saw on old John Wayne movies. You know,
right. Yeah.
Westerns or some such, you know. And then they, through processes that have taken years, they've taken up the responsibility to educate themselves. You know, when they did, you know, go to college and meet a Native person for the first time, you know, and they realized that everything they knew about Native people was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And then they took on the responsibility of learning what is right. You know, that is a real ally.
Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm grateful for those. And those who want to be an ally, that's a great place to start, is just first, if we have these allies, say, on Turtle Island, you know, maybe begin with something very simple like a land acknowledgement.
Oh, okay.
You know, understanding mm-hmm. whose land is that they're staying on, and what's the history of that land and the Natives who stayed there. You know, what did they call the land? You know, who were those people? That's a very seemingly simple way to begin
uh-huh.
A path into allyship.
Uh-huh. That's a wonderful answer. Thank you so much for that, because that's a beautiful way and it's accessible. You know, you can do that. Your next staff meeting at work or something, right? You can do it. Also media, you know, we've talked about the negative stereotypes in media, and there are so many, but there's a lot of media now that has a great deal of input from tribal people and Native Americans, and I'm thinking about Reservation Dogs, Rutherford Falls, Dark Winds. We have a lot of programming right now, Navajo 57. There's just a lot of programming that is actually being made by Native creators, short films and film festivals too. And that's a great place, I think, to start. You're going to watch something on Saturday night, so let's watch something that is edifying and accurate and not a problem for people who are people of, you know, Native descent and non-Native descent to watch. And so we have a chance. We have a wonderful opportunity too. We can read. You know, many Native authors have books out and have given us their views and their ideas, and we can read those books. by actual Native authors and learn from people in the conversation. And I want to say this to our friends who want to learn. We thank you for that. But please don't, you know, grab the next Native person you see and say, you know, teach me everything about you, or, you know, we really want you to, we want you to do our heavy lifting for us. This is a chance for you to learn as well in community. And that means all of us have to work together. We'll learn about you. You'll learn about us. And I hope that that will result in some really good dialogue and some opportunities to know each other better. What makes a good ally?
I believe a good ally is just really somebody who understands who we are. Understand who we are. Shed the stereotypes and see us for who we are. I think at the most fundamental level to me, that is what would make a good ally. You know, shed the stereotypes, you know, dispel all the myths, you know, and just see us for who we are.
Yes. My granddaddy was a D-Day World War II veteran. And he used to say, you know, there's not enough of us. We have, you know, you can't win a war by yourself. Allies matter.
Right.
And so I'm thankful for the people who are genuine allies. And then it's our turn, too. And I think that's something we don't talk about a lot. But we have to be allies to the people who are allies to us as well. You know, and
absolutely.
Right? I mean, if they're differently abled, if they're from a different culture, then we have to prepare ourselves to also stand up for what's right and justice and truth and love. You know, the people who are trying so hard to be loving and correct and righteous to us. You are such a tremendous person. You are truly great warrior, a great human being, a magnificent Tuscarora warrior.
Oh, you're so sweet, and you are a warrior and mother of nations.
And so your words on all of this are so precious and sacred to us, and they also mean so much. And so I want to ask you about something that comes up because of this month, and it comes up all the time. How do we handle Thanksgiving?
I'll tell you how my family and so many of my people regard Thanksgiving. And we've always done Thanksgiving. What I eventually learned is just a traditional Tuscarora way of having Thanksgivings, which is multiple Thanksgivings per year. You know, yeah, I grew up, we would have the Thanksgiving in November, the third Thursday or whenever it is. You know, I grew up with that Thanksgiving too. I never even was really aware of a pilgrim aspect of that story
until I was
in school. Because it was never, you know, in my home, it was never about the pilgrims and natives. It was just about us. But we do this traditionally, you know. It's like, for example, we had some of our family move to Baltimore. When the family in Baltimore would come back down to North Carolina to visit us, if they made it safely and no problems, we would have a Thanksgiving whenever they arrived to give thanks for their safe arrival. If a loved one dodged a health bullet, they turned up healthy, you know, we would have a Thanksgiving to give thanks for our loved one's good health. This is the way I was raised. When I got in school, I realized that other kids didn't necessarily do this, and so I just always thought, well, you know, non-Native kids, you know, they just had the Thanksgiving in November. And so I just thought, oh, well, I guess my family's different. But I didn't really realize it until I got a little older that you weren't doing this because someone said you're Tuscarora, you're supposed to do this.
That's right.
We did it because my mother did it, her parents did it, their parents did it, and their parents did it before them. And it's just been a tradition passed down it's like the echo of thousands of years.
Oh, I knew you'd know. Our feast, our giveaways, all of those things are part of giving thanks. I can hear my granddaddy right now. He used to say, we're thankful every day. Today's just when we eat.
Right. That's a good one. No shortage of wisdom in your life.
And so I think that's something precious for us that we can remember, is that we were thankful as people. We gave thanks all the time. We were thankful. Thanksgiving was just a way of life for us, not just a holiday marked on a calendar that has something to do with a historical situation that, well, anyway. So I love that answer. Thank you very much. And I think I'd love to see all of us think about reclaiming that during this season. The idea that Thanksgiving and being thankful and gratitude will just be our way of life, not just a time that we have a certain kind of meal or Hallmark tells us on the calendar that we should do this, but a way that we live our lives. And so what is the effect of that kind of Thanksgiving and gratitude when you live that way?
I believe that that affects your whole worldview. When you live in gratitude, you know, I think that that really affects a person at a very core level. When people take things for granted, they tend, well, they don't appreciate them. And so, like, for example, when we Tuscaroras recite the Hakanahara Tetra, which is what we call our Thanksgiving address, you know, somebody asked me when I recited this at a community event one time, asked me if I would, because there was a mixed group of people there, they asked if I would explain what our Thanksgiving address is about. And I said, this is a prayer to Creator for all these sacred things that so many people take for granted. This is our way of not taking them for granted. This is us acknowledging the sacred things, the people of the earth, not just Indians, all the people of the earth,
right?
All the waters of the earth, all the fish in the waters, all the trees, all the birds, the stars in the sky. You know, take so many people just take these things for granted, but without them, where would we be? It changes your worldview.
Yes, and I'm so moved by that. And I wonder if, as we move toward closing this beautiful conversation, if I could ask you to honor us by sharing some of that Thanksgiving address with us, please.
Oh, of course. Yes. Una wagahes kagarihwa ye gihre genigirihwe. Una hesna nawa twain yegwawetawe dedna ini agagwani. E watik digwagwathneg genigidigawadagye. Unigiela, Yagwate Rutra, Disne Nenwat Neni Heratis, Disne Twain, Ha Equige, Hotne, Hananiuhne, Hotne Yagwatege Rutne, Una Jagwategehra, Disne, Ha Neakini Heratis, Ha Yagwate Ufne, Disne Ha Awage Hotne, Ha Gejige Hotne, Disne Ha Uhehege Hotne, Disne Ha Utwehege Hotne, Disne Unikwatge Hotne, Disne Ha Garyuge Hotne, yeah. And this na ha ure ege hatne, ha jitne ge hatne, diga ragia heta, yeguariasud ge hatne, yeguariachi hita, yeguasud at neha, yitni surawe, heta diga gegwestakia, disne rawadiahne, tarehiahwake. So that is a bit of what we give thanks for. The Creator, the stars, the sun and the moon, the grandfather thunderers, the four winds, birds, the trees, the animal people, all the medicine plants, food plants, fish, the waters, the Mother Earth itself, and all the people of the earth.
Madomahe, big thanks. When I give thanks to the Creator, I always give thanks for you. And I want to say publicly that every time an award or an accolade comes to me, it also comes to you. Every time that I'm able to do what I do, you're doing it too, because you have your prayers, your love, your kindness, your everything is so greatly beloved in my life. So I want to thank you publicly. I want to say thank you to you. I want to thank the Creator for you. Thank you for your beautiful light in the world, but also in my life. I'm very grateful to you, and I'm grateful for you. And I'm so happy we had this conversation today.
And I feel the same for you. You know this. And I love you.
I love you.
All the listeners. And I'm grateful for you for everything. Thank you for that.
Thank you to all of you who make this wonderful, wonderful conversation possible. We're so blessed to be nominated for a World Entertainment Award for this podcast, for Best Podcast. And that's an international accolade, and we are truly grateful for all of you who make this show possible, who share with us, who donate to us, who listen, who share on social media, who come on as a guest, who tell your friends and family, who encourage us, who pray for us. We're grateful, and we say thank you. And we thank the Creator for everything. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together next time. See you then, and love you.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.